Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to this 10 o'clock Holy Communion service here at All Saints. And this morning we have the wonderful Helen Wilkinson, who's come up to share what God has given her on the readings of John 20 today. And that will be really interesting because I have no idea what she's going to say. But first, I have a few notices. The first notice is from Dave, who wishes to remind us that the next deeper service will be here at All Saints next Sunday. That's the 1st of May. Can't believe it's May already, but 1st of May. It's 6 o'clock here at All Saints. And he says we're going to reflect, or be reflecting, on blessed to be a blessing. And that will include commissioning and praying for those people who will be hosting Ukrainian refugees in the next few weeks. And he says it would be as lovely to see as many of us there as possible. So that's notice number one from Dave about next Sunday. Ooh. 3 Sundays' time. That's the 15th of May. Notice from Val Fane. We've got Who's Coming to Lunch, which is an invitation to share Sunday lunch at home with other church members on the Sunday, the 15th of May. So we're invited either to host the lunch, i.e. that means you have to do the cooking, or be a guest. And there is a sheet. I thought I brought it up here. I might have done. But there's a sheet somewhere which you can sign up to say whether you want to be a host or you want to be a guest, you know, whether you've got dietary requirements, like you like to eat a lot, not too much, gluten-free, that sort of stuff, and how many people you'd be bringing along with you. Val says it's a brilliant way to get to know others. So that's Sunday the 15th. Now, for purely administrative things and the fact that somebody has to do some shopping, you have to sign up by Sunday the 8th. So that's 2 weeks' time. So that's what we need signed up. The form, hopefully, will appear again in a minute, and it will be at the back. Patience also has a quick notice.
Thank you, Jackie. Good morning, everybody. I just want to ask if anybody would be willing to help with doing the coffees on a Sunday. As you know, over the last couple of months, we've got going with coffee here again, and it would be really nice to have some more people who would help prepare and wash up. It only really requires 3 people at a time, so 2 to come in first thing and get everything ready, and then 1 person to help with washing up. But with the summer coming and lots of people, you know, going away for holidays, we really could do with more people helping out. You know, hopefully it won't be too long before we'll have a real kitchen. But meanwhile, we cope in our little cubbyhole. So if you feel you would like to help with the coffees, if you either tell me or Jean or Suki. So thank you very much.
And patience, I think we want to thank you, Suki and Jean, for doing it so wonderfully. Because I know coffee is one of the things that a church marches on. Okay, so we have a gap that can be filled. Thank you, Jean. Right then. So let us... The one thing I need to say, just to anything in yellow is either for Helen or myself. Anything in white should be for us all together. Right then, let us take a moment to park those notices in our memory, but then just to open our hearts to God's presence with us. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has given us new life and hope. He has raised Jesus from the dead. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. So we meet in the name of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, God is one. Let us pray. Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, be present in our Easter praise this morning that we may celebrate both the mystery of your redeeming love and the majesty of your eternal glory. Amen. So as we come together in worship, let's remember before whom we stand, on whom our worship is focused, and in our confidence that he loves us. He loves to hear from us in worship and prayer. So let us stand and sing before the throne of God above. Please have a seat. Right then. I was going to divide the church in half, but I'm not going to. So, we're going to do this all together. It's a beautiful psalm of worship and praise to God. It's the last one in the Book of Psalms. Psalm 150. So let us all say together. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, let us just for a moment think on those words. Think how we want to praise God, not just now, not just in this service of worship, but every day when we meet people, as we interact with our friends, our neighbours, and indeed total strangers, how every meeting can be an act of worship. Heavenly Father, help us to remember that everything that has breath can praise you. Everything that breathes and has life can praise you. Help us to remember that this week and bring all praises and worship to you in everything we do and say. Amen. So we come now to a time of confession, of bringing those things that we know we sometimes get wrong to God in the hope that he will prompt us the next time not to get it wrong again, but to remember his love for us. So what God has prepared for those who love him, he has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything. Therefore, let us, in penitence, open our hearts to the Lord, who has prepared good things for those who love him. We confess to you our lack of care for the world you have given us. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We confess to you our selfishness in not sharing the earth's bounty fairly. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. And we confess to you our failure to protect resources for others. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. So with those prayers and all those things the Spirit touched in our own hearts, we bring them to the Lord and we just lay them at the foot of the cross. May the God of love bring us back to himself, forgive us our sins, and assure us of his eternal love in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now we have, rather than a creed, I've gone for an affirmation of faith today. So it's a bit different. We proclaim the church's faith in Jesus Christ. We believe and declare that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is both divine and human. God of the being of the Father, the only Son from before time began, human from the being of his mother, born in the world. Fully God and fully human, human in both mind and body. As God, he is equal to the Father. As human, he is less than the Father. Although he is both divine and human, he is not two beings, but one Christ. One, not by turning God into flesh, but by taking humanity into God. Truly one, not by mixing humanity with Godhead, but by being one person. For as mind and body form one human being, so the one Christ is both divine and human. The Word became flesh and lived among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. So now we come to a time of listening to God through the words of his servants recorded in the Bible. Let us sing a song and ask him, use them as words of a prayer, to open our hearts and our eyes and our minds so we can glimpse a little more of him. Let us stand to sing, "Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord." Right then, please have a seat, and Sylvia is going to come and read to us from the Bible. There you go, if that's any good.
John chapter 13, verses 19 to 31. Jesus appears to the disciples. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood amongst them and said, "Peace be unto you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins be forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgotten." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks on his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand into the side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hands and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Jesus performed many other signs of the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord.
Right then, Anna, let me present you with the clicker. Bottom
thank
button.
You. Thank you very much.
And let's pray for you. Lord Jesus, we thank you for all that you have given Helen to share with us this morning. We pray that we will have receptive ears, eyes and hearts and minds to hear your words and to do your will. Amen.
Amen.
There you go.
Thank you very much, Jackie. It's lovely to be back with you again today. And first of all, an apology from me that, well, two really. One, that I haven't been here very much recently. And, of course, our curate leaving has had a bit of an effect, and I've been a bit needed down at St. Andrew's. But also, my apology for my, I've got a bit of a throat, but hopefully we'll be okay this morning. This Easter, a question came to me, and I don't know why it hadn't occurred to me before. Why was the stone rolled away? Because when you look at the passage that we've just had read from John chapter 20, it's quite obvious that Jesus, to get out of the tomb where he'd been buried, didn't need the stone to be rolled away at all. Because here in John 20, we read that on the evening of the same day of the week, the same day, in other words, that Jesus left the garden tomb, he appeared amongst his disciples in a room where the doors were locked. I'll repeat that, the doors were locked, and yet he appeared. And they had been understandably frightened. The Jewish authorities had come after Jesus, and they were worried that they were going to come after him. So taking no chances, the room was secure. And yet, John writes, Jesus came and stood amongst them, chapter 20, verse 19. Jesus, you see, with his new resurrection body, was able to move in and out of rooms at will. He could come and go, regardless of walls and barriers that place restrictions on our usual human anatomy. And it wasn't the only time that it happened, because a week later, in the same house, Jesus appeared again. And again the doors were locked, it says in chapter 20, verse 26. Yet Jesus came and stood among them. It's not the only time that the Gospels mention Jesus coming and going through fixed walls and buildings following the resurrection. Luke tells us of the same sort of thing happening on the walk to Emmaus. The walkers stopped off to go into a home for a meal. And as they were sitting around the table, Jesus disappeared. And Luke writes, when he was at the table with them, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. 1 minute he was there, the next he wasn't. His new resurrection body functioned differently from the one that he had had before. He could come and go at will. Which brings me back to my original question. If Jesus could come and go through solid walls, why was there any need to have the stone rolled away? After all, there was no barrier to hold him back. Couldn't Jesus have just left the strips of linen in place, passed through the walls of the tomb, and appeared to Mary in the garden, outside the tomb, with no problem? Well, the stone was rolled away, not so that he could get out, because he could have done that anyway. The stone was rolled away so that we could go in. The stone was no barrier for Jesus, but it would have been a barrier for us. Because to experience the risen Christ, we need to have looked into the tomb and recognized that he has actually risen. For faith, we need both the factual proof, and we need to know he is within us today, head and heart, that he has risen. A couple of days ago, I listened to last week's All Saints service on the YouTube channel. It's just such a great facility to be able to catch up with what's going on. And it was the one for Easter Day when people, you were sharing on the roving mic, some of you might remember it, people were sharing about how they knew that the empty tomb of Easter was a reality today. And I was encouraged that quite a number of people said that they were sure of the resurrection because they know the presence of Jesus as he walks alongside them in their lives today. And this was exactly the situation that we find in the Gospels. By the time of the resurrection, Jesus' disciples had walked with him, followed him, got to know him. But they had all the facts before them. But to truly encounter the risen Jesus, they had to have the facts before them of the empty tomb, and they had to keep up with all that he wanted to do in their everyday lives. And as we do that, it means that we often face difficulties. Supposing that the women who went to the tomb very early Sunday morning carrying spices to Jesus, for Jesus' body, had encountered this instead of this. In fact, a barrier was pretty much what they'd expected. And they were shocked to find that it had been taken away. Now, this was a pretty big barrier. But both the Jewish and the Roman authorities made sure that it was a big barrier. We find the story in Matthew chapter 27, where the chief priests went to Pilate, and Pilate gave the order that the entrance of the tomb should be specially sealed up. As well as being a huge boulder, there was a special seal on it as well, just to be absolutely sure. In addition, they posted a guard. They wanted to be sure no one could get out. But God, on the other hand, wanted to make sure that we could get in and discover the miracle of the resurrection for ourselves, that we, with those original disciples, might go on encountering the risen Lord in our lives today. Between them, the Gospels give us five occasions when Jesus appeared to his disciples on what we call Easter Day. First of all, there's Mary Magdalene. Mary encounters the risen Jesus in the garden near the entrance to the tomb. She's seen the power of God powerfully portrayed, the stone rolled away. And through her upset, Jesus speaks her name and brings healing and joy. Then there's a group of women who come with spices to anoint the body, what I've called the anointing group. Having seen the empty tomb and with the message of angels ringing in their ears, they hurry away, afraid yet filled with joy, writes Matthew, only to meet Jesus on their way back. And they fall on their faces in worship. The same day, there were the two people on the way to Emmaus, where Jesus comes alongside and joins them on their journey. Jesus also appears to Peter. It's just a little verse in Luke 24 that I'd scarcely noticed until I took a proper look. And it must be a private meeting because we don't know what the details are. And then finally, Jesus appears at an evening gathering of at least the core disciples in John chapter 20, as we've read. Frightened for their lives, sheltering, suddenly Jesus appears in their midst. And in the following 40 days, there were at least five more times that the disciples encountered the risen Jesus. The encounter with Thomas from the passage that we've just had read earlier, when the disciples are again meeting a week later in that upstairs room. There's the encounter at the beach when there was a barbecue following on from a fishing trip and Jesus cooked his disciples breakfast. There was up a mountain when Jesus commissioned his followers to preach the gospel to all nations. And the apostle Paul writes in one of his letters about a big crowd who saw him, numbering more than 500. And finally, the ascension in Luke 24, with Jesus' parting promise before he disappears from their eyes altogether. In fact, it's very likely that there were more than this. John closes his gospel with this thought in chapter 21. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. These encounters are absolutely key to understanding the faith of Christians, both then and now. Because it is encounters such as these that ensure that we know the risen Christ living with his people in transforming power today. And there are some things to notice about these encounters. First of all, notice that they're to individuals and in groups. Lots of them were in groups, these encounters. You know, we're a bit individualistic today, you know? God wants to work amongst us when we're gathered together. It's both individual and group. It was indoors and out, Of course, God's not limited by buildings, as we've just been thinking about. Many of the encounters are outside, on a seashore, up a mountain, on a walk, as well as being maybe in a crowded room. And Jesus, every time, draws near. He is the one. They're not searching for him in the tomb anymore. He draws close to them, wherever they are, whatever state of mind they're in. And he draws us in as he does so. Because encountering him in these day-to-day events means that our relationship with Jesus will be deepened, our faith, love and trust in him expanded. And often this happens, sometimes we have a challenge given to us as well. I'll come back to that later. But the most important thing about these encounters is that they're completely personalised. All of them are different because God is the God of endless variety and we're all different. So every time he comes to draw us closer into fellowship with him, he always does so in a way that is tailor-made for us. Don't ever think that you ever need to receive the blessing of your neighbour. I know I can get like that. You know, we can covet what God's doing for somebody else. God has something for you, for each one of us, personally. It's Mary-shaped, or Thomas-shaped, or Peter-shaped, or Helen-shaped. The trouble for us is that there are barriers for our receiving more of this resurrection power and encountering Jesus in our lives today. And mostly they're not physical, but they're spiritual. Our transformation can be hindered. And to be lovely, to be able to worship God freely, as we find in this slide, to know that freedom and release. But sometimes there are barriers, there are difficulties. And here's a few of them. They overlap a bit, one with one another. But fear's the obvious one. That's what we find in John 20. I mean, looking at the state of the world and all that's going on, it's not hard to be fearful, is it really, today? And to worry as well about all of that and about the cost of living, about our health, about our families, our friends, just all sorts of situations. To doubt, it can be hard to trust God sometimes. And questions, we have lots of questions or things about faith that we're not sure of or maybe some things in the Bible that we find difficult to understand. There are all sorts of things that we need to wrestle with. And sometimes it's just that God seems a bit far away. He seems distant. And at times like these, it's good to remember the five encounters of Easter Day. They're not hard to look up at the end of, they're all at the end of the Gospels. Take the barrier of fear, for instance. The disciples had the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. And Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Twice he said it to them. It was as if they needed real reassurance. Two words, "Peace be with you." He was fulfilling an earlier promise, of course. He was reminding them, "Yes, I keep my promises." Earlier on in chapter 14 of John, he'd promised, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." They knew it in theory, they knew it in their heads, but they needed to know it in their hearts. That word afresh, we know it really, but sometimes we just need that word of reassurance from Jesus. "Peace be with you." An encounter with the living Lord Jesus, turning our fear into peace. And worry. in that story in John 20, when Jesus has said peace to them, he says, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Well, I'd be a bit worried at that point. I'm sending you where to do what? And then he says, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. There is no need to worry. Be reassured. The Holy Spirit is living in your hearts and will be with you. Very gently, Jesus breathes on them. Very gently, he gives them reassurance. And filled afresh with the Holy Spirit, we're always ready for what God has for us. Doubts. Well, what about all these doubts that we all of us have? I mean, at Deepa here, the last Deepa here at All Saints at 6 o'clock in the evening a few weeks ago, we heard a speaker from Open Doors talking about his work with the persecuted church. And for some Christians in some parts of the world, their situation is so grim. And I find that I can doubt God's power to act or his desire to do so. So that day, I felt God challenge me with these doubts. Why don't you pray, Helen? I picked up a prayer brochure to pray for a country a day, and there were 50 of them, their top 50, one a day, over 50 days. And do you know, as I've done that, it's really helped me to see more of encountering the power of the risen Christ, because I hear of how people under pressure and those who are persecuted are a part of a church in their country that is growing more quickly than the church in this country today. And I am staggered. You know, God answers our doubts. Is God at work? Yes, he is. You know, when that anointing group left the tomb, they were surprised by Jesus on the way back. And then it says, suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. And there they will see me. That group of people had approached the tomb full of fear and doubt. And they'd ended up renewed and with a fresh challenge. Questions. Who doesn't have questions? The two walking on the road to Emmaus did. Thomas did in that room the following week. And Jesus opened up the scriptures for those two on the Emmaus road. So that later they said, were our hearts not burning within us? As he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us. In reading the Bible, we encounter the risen Jesus, who by his Spirit gives us fresh insight in answer to our questions. And distance. This is a huge barrier sometimes in our faith. God feels a long way off, and yet again, we can be surprised. If we hang on, he will surprise us. Do you remember that walk to Emmaus? They all stopped off and shared a meal together. And it was in the moment when Jesus broke bread that the intimacy came. Luke 24, when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Distance was transformed into intimacy through the power of that Eucharistic moment. Now it's wonderful that we're going to be sharing in the bread and wine this morning. I'm with Wesley, who felt that communion was a converting ordinance. You know, it does something to me today. The people in these resurrection encounters were no different from us. But the more they encountered the risen Lord Jesus Christ in their daily lives, the more they grew in spiritual stature. They became familiar with the power of Christ to such an extent that it enabled them to change the world. Encountering the risen Jesus brings blessing and hope. It enriches the journey of faith as we walk with him. we're now going to go into a time of prayer in which there'll be an opportunity for you to think about which of these things are you particularly concerned about this morning? And for which of those things in the left-hand column do you need God to come and draw near to you this morning so that you can know more of the right-hand column? Where do we need to encounter him afresh today? So let's just, in the silence now, let's be open to the Holy Spirit bringing us peace, reassurance, challenge, insight, and intimacy. And at the end, when we've had a time, I'm going to ask Paul then to play a video to finish this off. Which one of these five encounters do I need to dwell on in order to know more of Christ's power in me today? So let's not forget the empty tomb. We are being invited into that empty tomb to encounter God's resurrection power today. Thank you, Paul.
A new life from the most impossible place. A grave. Nonetheless, he's here. Impossible. Impossible. Yesterday, what looked like his failure was literally set in stone. But this morning, that stone is no longer where it was, and everything has changed.
Everything has changed.
The enemy's been beaten. Crushed, really. Crushed. The celebration of what he pulled off Friday, it's over. How did this happen? He was lost, but now he's here. Right in front of me. I didn't know it was him. Who would?
Who would?
But if it is, if it's him, it changes everything. It changes who I thought he was. It changes who I thought the enemy was. It changes me. He is risen.
Margaret is coming to lead us in prayer. I've got those. If you want them, you don't worry about it.
Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we thank you that we bring our prayers to you, our risen Saviour, our Lord, knowing that you will hear and you will answer. Thank you that you stand in the midst of us this morning and say, "Peace be with you." May we know that peace which passes all understanding. May we know it in our hearts and our minds. And we offer to you those things that destroy that peace, and ask you to give us a stronger trust in you. We pray for our world. And as we pray for peace in our lives, we also ask for peace in the world. This morning particularly we think of Ukraine, but there are other places, Iran, Afghanistan, the Lebanon, places, Lord, where war and bloodshed are bringing so much suffering to the people. Bring comfort and healing to those who suffer. We thank you particularly for the witness of the church in these countries. And thank you, Lord, for the work of those who are seeking to bring physical comfort. And we lift Terry English and the work that he is doing. We pray you'll bless him and his family. Lord, give your peace. We pray for our own country, for our own government at this time. We cry to you, Lord, to give our leaders wisdom, particularly over the refugee crisis that there is. Lord, may we be welcomers of the poor and the homeless, just as you were when you walked this earth. May decisions be decisions that are for the benefit of the people who need them. And we pray for our NHS. Lord, the pressure that they're on at the moment is incredible. We thank you for the staff who tirelessly and sacrificially bring healing to the patients. We just commit to you those who are waiting much longer than they had hoped for treatment. Lord, give your peace. And we pray for our own town here in Malvern, for our witness within it, for our churches and our schools. We would today just pray for the right person to step up to be chairman of Churches Together in Malvern. We thank you for the wonderful unity that we experience and for the vision and leadership of Dan and Nigel. We pray for the Littleton Well and its presence in the centre of our town, for Matthew, John and Doreen, and thank you for all those who volunteer there and support your work. And we pray for our young people as they return to school this week. We pray for our high schools, for the Chase, for Dysons and Hanley Castle. And especially, Lord, we bring to you those young people who will be sitting their exams after 2 years of disrupted education. And we pray for our primary schools, for the Wells and the Witch, and for the staff who work there. May our children receive the good news of you, the risen Lord. And we pray for Life Path as it happens in June, praying for all those involved and the many schools who have already booked to attend. And we pray for ourselves now, Lord, for our families, for our friends. We would particularly think of Dave and his family, trusting they've enjoyed a refreshing break, and for healing for his mother. We pray for Helen and her work with the children and the families, and also the future appointments that we hope to make. We pray, Lord, you will lead and guide those responsible for the process of advertising and interviewing. May we as your people walk with you the path that you have prepared. May we be lights in the darkness wherever we go. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Peace be with you. Lord, as we go from here this morning, may we know that peace in our lives, and may we be those who share and show your peace to all those we meet in our daily lives and on our front lines. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
So now, as we draw close to our meeting with him at the communion rail, let us sing this next hymn as a prayer for us all, for the world over, for his will to prevail in everyone's lives. So let us stand and sing, "Breathe on me, breath of God." So let us collect all our prayers together in the words of the collect for today. Risen Christ, for whom no door is locked, no entrance barred, open the doors of our hearts that we may seek the good of others and walk the joyful road of sacrifice and peace, for the praise of God the Father. Amen. So we come now to our communion time. Let us say together, we do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your many and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. So we've been talking about peace, so let us exchange the peace with one another. The risen Christ, let's say together, the risen Christ came and stood among his disciples and said, "Peace be with you." Then they were glad when they saw the Lord. Alleluia. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Share.
The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. It is indeed right. It is our duty and our joy at all times and in all places to give you thanks and praise, Holy Father, Heavenly King, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. But chiefly we are bound to praise you because you raised him gloriously from the dead. For he is the true Paschal Lamb who was offered for us and has taken away the sin of the world. By his death, he has destroyed death. And by his rising to life again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Accept our praises, Heavenly Father, through your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, and as we follow his example and obey his command, grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us his body and his blood, who in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Therefore, Heavenly Father, we remember his offering of himself made once for all upon the cross. We proclaim his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension. We look for the coming of your kingdom. And with this bread and this cup, we make the memorial of Christ, your Son, our Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of thanks and praise. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts in the presence of your divine majesty, renew us by your spirit, inspire us with your love, and unite us in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. through him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honour and glory and power be yours for ever and ever. Amen. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. We welcome to the table this morning all those who love our Lord Jesus in sincerity and truth. So come to the table if you would like to have non-gluten-free bread or alcohol-free wine. Both are available, so just ask Jackie or myself as you come to the front. And if you'd just like a prayer of blessing rather than receiving the bread and wine today, just come up and leave your hands in front of you. But we don't want anybody to miss out on encountering the risen Lord Jesus today.
Let us join together in the words of the post-communion prayer. Lord God, our Father, through your Saviour Jesus Christ, you have assured your children of eternal life, and in baptism have made us one with him. Deliver us from the death of sin, and raise us to new life in your love, in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Right. We have met with Christ, and our final song is a great triumphant hymn of Easter. So let us sing this to inspire us in our walk with God this week. So let us stand and sing Thine Be the Glory. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the good gifts that you bestow upon us, and we pray that you will take these humble offerings to further your work throughout the world, bringing your kingdom in. Amen. And as we have just sung that wonderful triumphant Easter hymn, let us just take a moment to remember our brothers and sisters in the Eastern Orthodox Church for whom today is their glorious Easter Sunday, and the many of them who are not able to meet and sing in congregations because of the war that is raging in Ukraine. So let us just pray for those people and our brothers and sisters, Lord, in peace. We pray for your peace in that country. We pray for right minds and a solution that results in no more bloodshed. And we ask this in the name of the risen Jesus. Amen. So let us hold out our hands for all those blessings that God wishes to give to us so that we can be a blessing to others. Throughout the day, the good God encompass you. Throughout the night, the saving God enfold you. Throughout your life, the loving God behold you. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us always. Amen. So let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. Please have a seat. There'll be coffee in a minute. And while the end of the streaming comes, there will be another message from our lovely church warden. But just bless you all this week.